Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 4, 1 through 5, and 16 through 17. Abraham, humbly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation, what did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, and not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. This is the word of God.
So way back a long, long time ago, in the mists of time, when I was a kid, and many of you were kids, there was a television show on Friday nights. It was must see. You had to see the show. And it was called Walt Disney Presents. Do you all remember? Gathering around to see Walt Disney Presents, and it was a fantastic show. It had everything you expected from Disney, right? It had cartoons and those characters. It had those little short films that were really pitched at young people, you know, searching for adventure and wanting to see new things. It had little travelogue sections, you know, about strange lands that no one had ever seen, kids, you know. And it had little animal sections. It had everything in it. But around 1961, revolution came to that show. Do you remember what happened? Yeah, the show moved over to NBC, and they changed its name from Walt Disney Presents to The Wonderful World of Color. Do you remember? The Wonderful World of Color. Just the sound of that was so evocative of a new era, a new time, a new way to see all the splendor of the world, everything that Disney could bring to us. Now it was really vibrant. Now it was in color, at least for most people, or maybe some people, not so much for us. I remember we watched The Wonderful World of Color in black and white for a long, long time. We had to use our imaginations. But for those people who were ready, those people who were ready for that technology, the wonderful world of color could come into their living rooms just by saying yes, just by choosing that channel, just by switching it on. And I think that that's kind of where Paul is going today when he talks about Abram. He talks about Abram, who later became Abraham. He talks about Abram and his faith. The faith that he turns on, the faith that he switches on by saying yes to God, living into God's yes for him. Now, there isn't a whole lot in the Bible about Abram as far as, like, you know, what his thoughts and his feelings were, you know, the psychology of Abram, all the things that we think are important when we're looking at a historical figure. They didn't do that in the ancient days. They just didn't do that. When they were talking about a hero, they focused on his actions. But there's one aspect of his background and all the biblical heroes' backgrounds that the Bible always wants us to know. And that is their genealogy, where they came from. They always want us to know the kind of cloth these heroes were cut from. They always want us to know the kind of blood that is flowing through their veins. And so when you're reading along in the Bible, you get to a section about a hero, you'll usually find it preceded by this list of names that we usually skip over. But it's called the genealogy, and it tells us what kind of cloth these people are cut from. And when we get to Abram, the Bible is careful to let us know that he is cut from the cloth of Noah. Noah, who is God's original yes man. Do you all know the story of Noah? Noah was awesome, right? Noah is the guy who hears from God. He gets a call from God. He gets an urging from God to do a crazy thing, to build a giant ship in the middle of the desert, to prepare for the kind of rainstorm that no one had ever seen, that had never happened there before. And he gets this call, and he says yes. And he begins to build this giant ship in the middle of the desert. He gets his family involved in building this ship. And they're all working on this ship. And everybody around him thinks he's crazy. Everyone around him is laughing at him. And he's building and he's building and he's building and he's building. And finally that ship is done. And what happens? Animals start to stream towards that ship. And then rain starts to fall. And it falls and it falls and it falls. And pretty soon that ship is being lifted up. And then all that laughter dies away. And then Noah and his family, because they said yes, they're saved. They're saved. The Bible wants us to know that it's that kind of cloth that Abram is cut from. And it's ears with those, that kind of pedigree, that hear another call from God. That hear this call from God. Some 2,500 years later, Abram hears a call from God. And this call is to go. To go from where he is living, the land where he's living. To go away from the people that he knows. To go away from the place of his ancestry. And go to a place that God will show him. And he's asked to do this on the strength of just a call. Just that feeling, just that urging from God, and a promise that Abram and his wife Sarah, at 75 years old, will have a new life. Which, that's pretty big right there, man. I mean, I don't know, when I'm 75, and it ain't that long from now, I think if God came to me, new life, I'd be like, can I just finish this one? And just like, maybe that's it. Promise of a new life at 75 years old. At 75 years old, a promise of a child being born to them, which they had not had in their whole lives, a child being born to them. And that from that child would come grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And from those great-great-grandchildren and all those kids would come a great nation. He's told this in that urging, in that call. You will make a great nation. And that nation will bring blessing to all the other nations of the world and salvation. This is a huge call. And you know, Abram being cut from that Noah cloth, you know, being cut from that cloth that has a sort of tendency to say yes to God. Abram's probably excited. He's probably saying, yeah, I want to do this. I want to try this. But you know, for every yes, no matter how compelling that yes is, there's a no that's right there too as a counterweight. We know this from our own lives. That there are yeses out there that are enticing, that we want to jump into, that we know maybe that would be a great thing for me. But there's always a no that's pulling us back, right? And this, for Abram, has so many no's. I mean, God is calling him to do this thing, to go with no prospects, no map, no destination, no special skills for this kind of journey. He's asking him to go with no easy way really to collect all of his belongings and all of his property and all of his herds and all of his animals, and there's so many of them. He's calling them to go with no easy way even to get his relatives and his wife and everybody else on board with going to who knows where, because nobody knows yet, to go and say yes with no reservations, to take that step. To take that step. But Abram, he sizes up all the no's, you know. He takes a look at all those no's. And he lives into the yes. He chooses the yes. And you know, he does that. He does that for the same reason that you and I, when we hit those places in our lives that you and I go down on our knees and pray. You know those times when we really mean it? He does it for that same reason that we go on our knees and pray. He does it for the same reason that we gather here every Sunday. Does it for the same reason that we come forward once a month to receive communion. He does it for the same reason that people seek to be baptized. He does it for the same reason that people take that step to join Christ's holy church. He does it for the same reason that we, when we do it, crack open those children's Bibles and read those stories to our kids and find ourselves saying things like, God is, God does, God loves. Abram lives into the yes for the same reason that we do all of those things. Because we hope. We hope. Because inside us, there's a hope that's deep enough that it blossoms into faith. We have a hope in us that change can come. We have a hope in us that flares up and makes us reach out for that author of hope, for God. It makes us reach up with that hope. And then inside us, or maybe even across our lips, will come that confession that I believe God. I believe God. I need God. I belong to God. Those confessions, when they occur in us, those are the things that revolutionize our lives. Those are the things that really breathe new life into dead spaces in our lives. Those confessions, I believe, I need, I belong, those are the things that bring new life into us and change our lives. Those are the things that bring us together and link us together with all those heroes of the past, like Noah, like Abram, like Moses, like Mary, like Jesus himself. That link, that links us to God. God who, as Paul says, gives life to dead things and calls those things that are not as though they are. Now, you know, for every yes, for every time that we have those feelings that we really want to link up with God, that we really do believe, there's a no out there. There's always a no out there, right? Our world is full of no's when it comes to our faith, right? For every time we say, I believe in God, there's a no out there that says, you know, no, you should believe in no one but yourself. That's out there. For every time we say, I need God, there's a word out there that says, no, you should depend only on yourself. for every time we say we belong to God, that we really want to belong to God, turn our lives over to God. There's a word out there that says we should live only for ourselves. But you know, there comes those times in our lives. There come those times when we really want to go beyond the nose. When we really want to see what life might be like. Beyond our imagination, beyond our limited imagination. Where we really want to see what we can do, how we can stretch beyond our tiny capabilities, our understandings of what's possible. Where we really want to link up with God and go beyond the nose and live into His yes. Now, sometimes the objections, you know, the first objections, they come right from us. We feel like we want to reach for God and we say, well, no, I'm not ready yet. No, I'm not good enough yet. But you know, those objections, they cannot be sustained if you look at the heroes of the faith. For you see, to trust in God, to believe in God, when we believe in Him, when we trust in Him, even in the shadow of our failures, even in the shadow of our failures, God is faithful to mold us, to change us, to make us into that person that we know we want to be, that we know we ought to be. When we need God, when we admit our need of God, when we want to depend on God, when we make that step, well, that's when God is faithful to really ignite a new birth within us and enables us, strengthens us to go ahead and take the steps for ourselves, for our families, for our homes. Take those steps towards holiness and living for God. It's when we decide that maybe we can lay down our little plan because there's a greater plan out there for us. There's something greater for us that we're going to lay down our plan for a greater plan. That's when we really link up with that God. God who is powerful, and God who is faithful, God who breathes new life into dead things, God who calls that which is not as though it is. That's what Paul is talking about today. That's what Paul is talking about today. Each and every one of us in this room, and each and every person in this world is called by God. We are not called or accepted by God because of anything that we have done, or anything that we can do, or anything we can offer to God. We are simply called by God and embraced by Him based solely on our response to Him. Based solely on our desire to say yes. And when we say yes, His world opens up to us. His world opens up to us. And we're in that place where we're being saved. It's the yes. It's the yes that makes all the difference. It made all the difference to Abram. It makes all the difference to us. It makes all the difference to anyone who is willing to take that step and live into that yes. It's so important that if we had one prayer that we could lift up, just one prayer from now and tomorrow and the next day, that would be a good prayer. Oh, Lord, just let me live into the yes. Yes, I believe. Yes. I need you. Yes, I belong to you. Because it's in that prayer, it's in that confession that we are linked to all those great people of the past. Noah, Abram, Moses, Mary, Jesus, and each other. Linked up. And linked up to God. Linked up to God who breathes new life even into dead things. And calls that which is not as though it were. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for faith. We thank you for faith that is born in hope. We praise you, oh God, and we ask that you lead us to live into the yes that you have for us, that you lead us into a whole new world beyond our imagination. And then you ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and rise up then.